hope that you will take the things that are taught here tonight as we are, and search the scriptures, see that they're the truth. Although when you hear what I'm going to preach about, you may wonder where in the scriptures I found this lesson. You know, the Bible oftentimes points to nature to teach us about wisdom, to show us wisdom. In fact, Solomon directs us in Proverbs 6, verses 6 and 7, about the ant. He said, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler." Jesus would tell us about the birds of the air in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. He said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" There's another creature that God has created that I think that we can take lessons from. In fact, I borrowed this lesson from someone else. But I want to ask you, are you a goose? Now you're going to scratch your head and you're going to say, "I don't read about geese in the Bible, Jeff." But when you think about it, anybody that's grown up around farm animals knows that geese make two sounds. There's one when they're approaching you like this, and they got that head down or they got those wings up, and he's fixing to come and get the heels of your feet. And he sounds very hateful when he's coming to get you. But then when they fly overhead in that V shape, there is a different sound that a goose makes. Have you ever noticed that? It's more of a rhythmic sound as they're flying overhead. So this sermon comes from an article that was found on the internet. It's titled "Lessons from Geese." It's by a man by the name of Dr. Robert McNeish. He wrote this and produced or provided it in 1972 at Baltimore, Maryland. And I believe when we study this, there are going to be things that we can take from what he pointed out in this speech and apply it to us today as Christians, especially in our relationship with one another and with the elders. For example, when these geese fly overhead, you've noticed they almost have a perfect V, don't they? Well, that is geese practicing what's called synergy. Well, the fact of the matter is, when these geese are flying, they're flapping their wings, aren't they? I mean, they're flying, so naturally they're flapping their wings. And that creates uplift. So the one out in the very front, he's working the hardest, and everybody else is floating along behind him, not having to work as hard. And yet they're all practicing this uplift. The one in front is providing uplift for the one in the back. By flying in the V shape, these flocks add 71% greater flying range than they would if they were flying alone. Did you catch that? 71% greater flying range than if they were going it alone. You see kind of where this lesson's going? We need each other, don't we? That's a fact of synergy. So the lesson I learned from this is, first of all, people that share a common direction and sense of community can get where they're going easier when they have somebody that's going in the same direction. We've got that uplift. The one in front is helping the one in the back, and the one in the back is honking, encouraging the ones in the front. McNeish pointed this out, that we get there a whole lot easier and quicker because we're all traveling on the one thrust of the goose that's in the front, or the one in front of us. And this too is the principle of synergy, where two or more agents are working together to produce a result that you cannot obtain by yourself or on the agent independently. It's just like you take hydrogen and you mix oxygen, and you get water. But oxygen and hydrogen by itself does not produce water, does it? It takes one along with the other. And this explains the biblical principle of sending people out two by two. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 7, he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. Jesus knew what he was doing. Two would be more effective than one going out on his own. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Two were sent ahead of Jesus to help prepare the way. In Acts 13 and verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate now for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Notice he didn't just say Saul by himself, who later would be Paul, but he asked for Barnabas, or told them to send Barnabas and Saul together. Now you think about it. We may look at this and say, well, you know, Paul could have handled everything on his own. But when you think about who Barnabas was and what he was known for, he was a perfect fit for Saul. With everything that Saul would go through, Barnabas was the son of consolation. And he would be the one to give this great encouragement to Saul, who later be called Paul. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, in verses 9 and 10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Spiritually speaking, we need each other. We need to be like geese. We need to be honking. Not in a road rage type of honking, but in an uplifting type of honking. Now, when we go back and talk about the geese, I want to ask you, do you appreciate the wisdom of flocking together as the geese did? And if so, then another closely related point is that geese benefit from mutual edification. The fact of the matter is that when a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of being all by itself. Remember the stat that McNeese posted earlier? When they fly in formation, they are 71% more efficient. So when we back off and try to do things on our own, we become less efficient. The drag of trying to do it by ourselves is going to drag us down more than if we were socializing, having the fellowship with one another, and having that 71% greater efficiency. But when it falls out of formation, it quickly moves back into formation to take advantage of that uplifting power of the bird that is immediately in front of it. It needs that close association, that fellowship, if you will, of all of those geese in that formation. And the lesson I learned from this is that if we have as much sense as a goose, then we're going to stay in formation with those who are headed in the same direction that we are. That's what McNeese said in his outline that day, way back in 1972. So let's stop right here and ask ourselves the question, do we have as much sense as a goose? Do we not see the need for fellowship, for that uplifting edification? Geese understand that they need each other to be edified. And the one in the back is honking, "Keep up the good work. I'm right here with you." And the one in the front is honking, "Keep on coming. We're making good headway. Let's stick together." He went on to say, "We are willing to accept their help and give out help to others." And that's the way it ought to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I have seen brothers and sisters in Christ throughout my years that when they need something, they are afraid to ask. And I understand it. We're all proud, aren't we? We don't want people to know when I'm struggling. I can fix it myself, but sometimes I can't. Sometimes I just need somebody to talk to. I just need somebody to pray with me. Someone that will listen when I need help. Strong Christians will understand the value of mutual edification, and they will appreciate it. There's nothing like a family of God's people that are drawn together in that mutual edification. It's sad when so many church doors are open and then they open up for the final amen, and when the final amen is said, it's like they are where to go. Now, I understand with the virus and everything, a lot of churches, that's what they recommend you. When the final amen is said, they say, get out. But we need that association with one another. We need it for edification. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And then you know what he says in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be honking at each other. Whether we're the goose in the front or the goose in the back, the goose on the other side of the V, we need to be honking, uplifting each other. So mutual edification occurs within the context of a local church. Whereas a group of geese are called, if I can pronounce this right, a skein when they're in flight or a gaggle when they're on the ground. A group of Christians is called the church. So the next thing we see here from these geese is the lesson that geese share the burden. The fact of this point is, when the goose that's in the front gets tired, it rotates back. And another goose flies into that position of leading the flock. They understand. You know, that's similar to bicycle racing, what they call pace gliding in bicycling. You know, when you see them doing the Tour de France and they've got that lead bicycle out there, he's struggling and everybody else is just cruising along behind him. They're playing off of his draft. Now, some of you may not understand what I'm talking about here, but you'll understand when I put a NASCAR track up there, won't you? They understand what drafting is. That front car is burning more gas, expending more energy, and everybody else is behind it. And it amazes me, they're right on the bumper of each other, a matter of inches. And he's not burning nowhere near as much gas as the lead car because he's drafting. We need to be doing that. We need to be line pacing ourselves and uplifting one another, helping each other along. The lesson I learned from this is that it pays to take turns doing the hard stuff. That's just like the elders have Chuck coming in on Saturday to share the burden of running the camera, running the sound, and all of this stuff. And people will say, well, I don't want no part of that. That's too difficult for me to learn. But you know, the point is, what do you do if Jason's out and nobody knows how to run the sound, the little keypad that he's got there? What do we do? Well, I'll tell you what we've done in the past is I try to run it and I make a mess of it by trying to get up here and preach and cutting the microphones off and everything when I'm trying to preach. We need men to step up. You know, we sing the song in a songbook, Room in the Kingdom, for the small things that you can do. It's not that difficult once you sit down and actually pay attention to what you're doing. How many song leaders have we got now? What happens if you've only got one song leader? You think he gets tired? Last count I heard, we've got about four, maybe five, if we can get them all to congeal their time together. How blessed is a congregation that has five men that can lead the singing? How blessed is a congregation that can have enough men that they don't have to worry about but leading the singing maybe twice or three times throughout the whole month? Because people step up. It pays to have men that would step up and do the hard stuff. And let's not leave the sisters out. When we get back to teaching Bible classes, the hard stuff is teaching the Bible classes for the ladies. I don't want to try to teach little bitty ones that are 5, 6 years old. No, that's not my cup of tea. But I could probably try if I had to. But that's more suited for a woman because the children are going to be more acceptable of her. But there might be times when in the future we grow and we have a teenager's class, and that's going to be more suited to some man to step in. And they say, well, now, Jeff, we'll let you teach the teenager's class. Well, who's going to teach the auditorium class? You see, we've got to have people to step up, rotate around, and do the hard stuff. And it pays. And that's what McNeish said in his speech that day. But as with geese, people are independent on each other, interdependent on each other's skills. We need other people to help guide us and to teach us to follow their abilities, their capabilities, and the unique arrangements of their gifts, their talents, their resources, he would say. Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. Now, are you honking? Are you back there just flapping your wings and just having a lackadaisical day, just doesn't care where the lead goose is going as long as you've got somebody to follow? Too often, though, when we follow the V formation, members get burnt out because other people, other members of the church, other brethren, other sisters won't help out. They won't step up. So the question is, how about you? Are you doing your part? Are you honking, encouraging? Are you uplifting everybody else? Are you willing to take the lead occasionally? The local church depends on people to do that. So our fourth point is that geese encourage the one that's out in the lead. The fact that we need to notice about this is that flying in formation, they honk to encourage. It's not like the goose is running on the ground, is chasing you that sounds mad. But it's a different sound, and it's one that you look up in the sky when they fly over in the fall and in the spring, don't you? We look up and we see that pleasant V flying of those geese. And it's kind of a gentle honking sound, isn't it? That's what we need. We need brethren to encourage one another. You're flying just right. Do you need to pick up the speed just a little bit? You need to work a little bit harder. And a lead goose doesn't say, well, now, let's stop right here. If you think you can do better, you get up here. No, that's not the way we need to do it. But that's the way that most of us do it, isn't it? If we get encouragement, we get upset. Well, if you think you can do better, but all that everybody else is doing in honking is just trying to encourage the best out of each of us. It's unlikely to be complaining that they are going to go, that they're going the wrong way. The back goose is not saying to the one in the front, turn right, turn right, turn right. He's saying, keep on. You're doing great. You're uplifting. And that's what we need to be doing as well. The lesson that we learn from this is that we need to make sure that we're honking to encourage and not tear down. We don't need to be honking, would you stop? Would you do better? Would you do this? We need to be honking and saying, you're doing great. I believe in what you're doing. Keep up the good work. Keep trying. You'll get better as you go. McNeish would point out that in groups where there is encouragement, the production is going to be greater. So if we can spend our time honking encouragement, then the church here is going to produce more Christians. It's going to produce more faith. It's going to produce a larger number. Because if you've got Christians that are honking encouragement, then that's going to be a place where other people will want to be a part of the service of God. You know, the power of encouragement, McNeish went on to say, is a quality in the honking that we need. The power of encouragement, to stand by one's heart or core values and encourage the heart and core of others, that's a quality that you don't find everywhere. But that's what the quality of honking that we need is. And such should be the purpose of our honking, if, as it were, to build others up. Y'all ever watch Disney movies? The old cartoon movies? Y'all remember watching Bambi? Remember what Thumper's mama said? If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Sometimes that's the best recipe, isn't it? That's well-taken, well-deserved advice. Before you go honking at somebody and you're going to dress them down, think about it. Run it through your cycle of thoughts right quick and think, do I need to say this to this person at this time? You know, we are very private people sometimes. We're proud people, as I mentioned a moment ago. And we don't want others to know when we're struggling. So I may come to somebody and say, buddy, I tell you what. You didn't pitch that song right, or you didn't say a very good prayer today. And in their mind, they're thinking, they don't have a clue what I'm going through. If you can't say something good, stop your honking. Honk to encourage, to build others up. So when we go back to this geese, you know, there used to be a bumper sticker out. Honk if you love Jesus. You might say, and his brethren. So the last lesson is this. Geese care for one another. The fact about geese is, when a goose gets sick, wounded, or shot down, and science will prove this, that two geese will drop out of that V formation and fly with that sick or wounded one. Or if it takes landing on the ground to stay with that one until it either dies or it is healthy enough to resume flying and they catch up. They care for one another. They stay with it until it's able to fly again or it can't fly. Then they launch out either with another formation that's flying over or they catch up to the flock. Now, what I learned from that is that if we have as much sense as geese, then when difficult times strike, we're going to stand by them, just like we do when good times are upon us. You know, that's what McNeish said in his speech. If we have as much sense as geese, then we'll stand by each other in difficult times as well as when we are strong. I say amen. We have difficult times upon us right now. This coming Sunday morning, the radio program is going to be about dealing with difficult times, disasters. And have you ever noticed when this country goes through difficult times, how many of you remember 9/11? Terrible day, wouldn't it? Do you remember the days following that? How our congressmen came together on the steps of the Capitol building and sang and prayed together in unity? You don't see that all the time, do you? We're having difficult times now in this country. COVID-19. And spiritually, we need to be standing by each other. We need to be encouraging one another. You know, that's another benefit of working together, because it is our spiritual duty to our brethren. We go back to the Ecclesiastes writer. And the great preacher says in chapter 4 and verse 10, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." It's always easier when you have someone to help you stand back up, isn't it? You know, when I worked for Cook's Pest Control, they'd send you out by yourself. And we were talking about ice and snow right before the services. And I remember going around this house one day, and it was nothing but frozen snow. And if you hadn't noticed, I'm a healthy boy. Okay? So here I go around this house just as careful as I can, and the ice is crunching in under me, and all of a sudden, there I went. I rolled and slid plumb to the house next door. And the first thing I did was laid there moaning. Second thing I did was raise my head up to make sure nobody saw me. The third thing I did was crawled until I could find somewhere to hold on to get up. Now, if we'd had somebody there with me, chances are we'd have both been laughing, but I'd have had somebody to help me up. But the Ecclesiastes writer, the great preacher, is right. We need people to help us up when we stumble and fall, don't we? The New Testament teaches the same thing in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's fruit, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Geese care for one another. So should we. And I think we do a pretty good job of that here at Eastside. Lessons from geese. Bet you never thought you'd hear a lesson on what you can learn from geese. But you know, by instinct, God gave geese the wisdom to succeed in flying and migrating. God gave them that ability. He gave them all of the abilities that we've talked about, the facts that we've talked about, that they help each other, they edify one another, they encourage one another. They do all of those things because God gave them that wisdom. But you know, by His Word and by His creation, God gives us wisdom to succeed in our spiritual journey as well. And it's my prayer that this lesson will help us, because our spiritual journeys can be difficult at times. Now, I don't know about you, but I need edifying. I need encouraging from time to time. And I know we use this phrase loosely sometimes, but I'll bet some of you do too, that some of the others here need encouraging. I mean, you think about those that are watching on the live stream that can't be here because their health just absolutely will not allow it. Have you done any encouraging to them? I'll be the first to tell you, I've let some of them down, I know. But we need that encouragement. You would want that encouragement if you were in their position, wouldn't you? The invitation song is "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Part of this decision to follow Jesus is to fly like geese as Christians, to edify, to build each other up, to learn how to love one another. Like I said, I think we do a very good job of that here at Eastside, but can we do better? That's the purpose of my lesson tonight, is try to encourage us to do better, to honk like geese, uplift the other geese around us. And I think we can do that. But it may be that you're here tonight.